I have survived the past week and I'm at youth camp. Once again, I made it. It's been an awesome week, though. And we missed out on the weather, I understand, from last Tuesday. We didn't have as bad a weather as you guys did up here. So praise the Lord, though, that nobody here was hurt either. Not only that, but we had at camp a great year. No big pranks. No bad sicknesses to speak of. We had 18 professions of faith this year. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. 18 professions of faith. We haven't had that I know of yet. Not that many. Three from our church. But God was working in a big way in the lives of the young people there. And I want you to hear from them. I want you to be here tonight. We're going to be seeing a short video too of just to give you a taste of what camp was like. Just to give you a little bit of a picture of what it was like to be there. And then you're going to hear from some of, or all of the campers themselves. I told them to all be ready. So make sure you get them here and come for a blessing yourself. It will be incredible. You know, there is a big difference, though, when something goes from your heart, goes from your head into your heart. There's a big difference. At camp, I believe it happened to a number of young people this week. Happened to a number. And maybe there's a time when you feel that all the teaching and the preaching that they're getting just isn't sinking in. It's like trying to talk to a teenager sometimes and they're just looking at you. You're not sure if it's sinking in. And you wonder if it's all doing any good. But it's there. It's there. And there comes those special times when all of a sudden it drops from here to here. It sinks from here to here. And things click. And a change happens inside. And I believe that change is only something that God can do. A change happens, and it all comes together. God has a plan for your life. Young people, old people, God has a plan for your life. You are it. You are God's plan. You are God's plan for the world. You are God's plan for spreading the gospel. He could have chosen a lot of different ways, but He says, I want to choose you. You want to know God's best idea He ever thought up? Look into the mirror this afternoon and you'll see God's best plan that He ever thought up. He thought of you. He created you. He made you. He has a purpose for you. He put your life together. He knew what you were going to be like. He knew even the days of your life before you were born. You're the best plan that God has. And if we're not going to get the information from here to here and take our role seriously, who is? Next month is Missions Month. And if we're not going to get missions from here to here, realizing that it's us that God has called. It's us that God has called to do the work of missions. And if we're not going to get that, understand that, who is? You're the best plan. You're the only plan that God has. There's no backup. There's no plan B. You're it. You're God's plan for the church. I believe deep inside, everybody wants to leave a legacy behind them. This morning, the message is leaving a lasting legacy. How to leave a lasting legacy. I believe that deep inside, everybody wants to leave a legacy. That is, that what they do during their lifetime will have an impact. It will be remembered. They will be remembered. They will make a difference in the world. Nobody wants to live life feeling like they could leave the face of the planet and nobody would miss them. Nobody wants to live life that way. Everybody wants to leave a mark. Everyone wants their life to matter. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. We're not just talking about money. We're talking about godliness. We're talking about wisdom. We're talking about leaving a legacy. Psalm 112:6, a righteous man will be remembered forever. How do you do that? How do you leave a lasting legacy, a permanent legacy? I want to show you this morning some lasting legacies that we need to pass down. And as parents, we're responsible to have these qualities in us and displayed in us so that our kids can take them and they can catch them and they can pass that legacy on from generation to generation. And these are a few of the qualities that we need to have. Number one is we need to live with integrity. Live with integrity. What is integrity? We can simplify it a lot, but I believe that there are three different activities to living with integrity. One is telling the truth. Two, keeping your word, your promises. And three, practicing what you say you believe. Telling the truth, keeping your word, practicing what you say you believe. If you want to be a person of integrity, always tell the truth, always keep your word, always practice what you say, or do what you say you believe. The Bible has a lot to say about these three qualities. In Proverbs 17, verse 7, it says, "Arrogant lips are unsuited to a fool. How much worse lying lips to a ruler." He's talking about leadership here. He's saying lying lips do not belong in leadership. That's not integrity. All leadership is built on one thing. That is trust. If you can't trust somebody, you can't follow them. You don't follow somebody that you don't trust. And all trust is built on truth. You don't want to follow somebody who doesn't tell the truth. So if you want to be a leader, you need to learn to speak truth. If you don't tell the truth, nobody's going to trust you. And if nobody trusts you, nobody's wanting to follow you. This is about integrity. Why is it that we look around our society and see most leaders are held in low esteem? Most leaders are held in low esteem. It's because they often don't tell the truth, because they don't keep their word, and because often they don't practice what it is they say they believe. In other words, there is often a lack of integrity with too many leaders today. A lack of integrity. How about you? Does the word integrity define your life? Does integrity define the kind of person that you are? Let me give you a few helps to jog your memory. Have you ever failed to keep a promise? Here are some unkept promises. Think about these in your mind and ask yourself, do you say this frequently, sometimes, or never? I will return it as soon as I'm done with it. Frequently, sometimes, or never? I won't tell anyone what you've told me. The check's in the mail. How about this one, guys? I'll be home at 6 p.m., honey. And as the one Ed says, yeah, right. How about this one, families? We're going to be taking the class 101 soon. A year later, we're going to be taking class 101 soon. Dads, how about this? We can play this weekend, son. Or we'll do this when things settle down. And of course, the familiar, my diet begins tomorrow. Integrity. Is it easy to live with integrity? Of course not. And that's why you need God's help. You need to make as your prayer this verse in Psalm 101, verse 2. Will you read this with me out loud? Psalm 101, 2. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will walk in my house with a blameless heart. I think it's supposed to be a blameless heart. I will walk in my house with a blameless heart. Why in my house? Because success is really when the people who know you the most respect you the most. You can fool anybody frequently. You can fool people that you don't know frequently, but when those who know you the most respect you and say, that's a person of integrity, that's when you have success. That is success. Not many people like pictures of themselves. You like your own pictures? I mean, you don't often walk in and, you know, you won't go into my office and see these big pictures of myself on the wall. All right? You're not going to see that. Why don't we like that? Because we're critical of ourselves. And we take a look, especially if they're blown up really big. You know, if I blew up a big poster of you and showed it, you wouldn't like that. Because the bigger the picture, the more easily you can see the flaws. The more easily you can see blemishes. You see every fault. So the closer you look at something, the closer you look at somebody, the more you see the details. And it's the same way at home. The people at home know every blemish. They know every flaw. They can see every wart. And success, though, is when those who know me best respect me the most. I take a look back at my life. I think of my dad. And as I remember my dad, there's something that I will remember. And that is that he was a man of integrity. Say what you will about him, his faults and what have you, but he was a man of integrity. He lived with integrity. He practiced what he said that he believed. He was a giving man. I think of my dad, I think of a man who would give the shirt off his back if you were without a shirt. That is integrity. And that is a lasting legacy. That's the kind of legacy that I want to leave. But to do that, one of the qualities that I need to have in my life, one of the qualities that you need to have in your life that we pass down to others below us and after us, is to be people, men and women of integrity. The second character, the second quality is that we need to serve with intensity. Be a servant to other people around you. You know, a lot of times we ask kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do when you grow up? I don't think any kid has ever come back and said, you know, I really want to be a servant. No, it's always, you know, I want to be a big boss. I want to be a star. I want to be a celebrity. I want to be a star athlete. I want to be a leader, a winner. Jesus said, if you want to be great, you've got to learn to be the servant of all. And that goes against our grain. That goes against our programming, our thinking. If you want to be great, you need to be servant of all. If you really want to do something successful and significant with your life and leave a legacy, you need to be a servant. And that blows the world's mind. That blows the thinking of the world's mind. But the fact is this, that most people only work for their own good. We work for our dreams, our ambitions, our goals. We're not thinking about the good of other people. And that's why most people never leave a lasting legacy. They never leave something that lasts. They don't serve with intensity. Many people work with a lot of intensity. Many people work themselves silly. They work themselves to death. They work with a lot of intensity. But the key to a lasting legacy is serving other people with intensity. Colossians 3:23 reminds us, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. You work for with all your heart in what? You work with all your heart in what? Whatever you do. Whatever you do. Be enthusiastic. Be eager to help and to serve other people. No matter what you do, do it with all your heart. What's our motivation for working with all our heart? What's our motivation? As unto the Lord. That's the motivation. You know what made camp so awesome this past week? Was the number of people there who were there to serve with all their heart. The number of people there who took time off of work. Time off work, and they actually paid to go to camp. Now, they're either stupid or they are serving with intensity. Because they see that there's great value here. They see that they want to leave a lasting legacy. This past week, I asked a young man to give a small devotion. This young man's name is Tim. Is Tim here? Tim, are you here? No, Big Tim. Big Tim. Is Big Tim here? Great. I'm using him as an example, and he's piking. Oh, there he is in the back. Okay. Raise your hand, Tim. Good to see you. I was about to have to get on to you later. Well, I asked Tim to give a small devotion, and his devotion he brought out was how that it's touched his heart to realize that everything that we get in life is going to wear out and that we need to lay treasures up in heaven. This is one thing that has been on his mind and in his heart. Jesus said, don't lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupts and thieves break in and steal and destroy. He said, lay up treasures in heaven. And that's what these, especially those who have been serving and been working at such things like our camps, that's what they're doing. Laying up treasures in heaven. Investing in people. Invest in people. There's a lot of things in life that are just not going to last that people spend so much of their time investing in. Let me give you a few things that just don't last. The first one is fame. A big one, fame. You're a big hero today, you're a big zero tomorrow. Fame doesn't last. It doesn't stick around. Can you recall in your mind the winners of the last five Miss Universe pageants? Of course not. But it was such a big thing to them at the time. But you don't remember those things. Fame goes. It doesn't stick around. Status is not going to last. Status, your prestige, where you are on the social ladder. These things come and they go really quickly. But yet we spend so much of our time. Pleasure doesn't last. Pleasure's okay in the bounds and in the realms of God's Word, but it doesn't last. It's a very short-lived, temporary thing. Pleasure does not last. Even the pleasures of sin don't last. And by the way, the Bible says sin is pleasurable. Amen? Sin is pleasurable. I wish sin wasn't pleasurable. I wish sin was nasty and we hated sin. It'd make my job so much easier. If I said, you know what the problem is? You have sin in your life. And you'd say, that's what that is. I hated that. I'll stop that right away. That would make my life so much easier. But the Bible says that sin is pleasurable. It says for a season. It's like bait. It's pleasurable, but it comes with a big hook on it. And it comes at a cost. And the cost is too high to pay. The cost is too high to pay. Pleasure doesn't last. Power doesn't last. And the Bible's very clear that things aren't going to last. And most people spend all their lives focusing on these things. Focusing on gathering and accumulating things. And the Bible says it doesn't last. You put all your focus and you put all your energies into buying something. Young men, you spend all your time at work, and for the next few years you save your money and you go out and buy yourself a nice car. Guess what? It's going to get old and rusty and fairly quickly. Cars don't last. Things aren't going to last. You came into the world with nothing. The Bible says you're going to leave with nothing. What's going to last for eternity? There are two things that I know that the Bible says are going to last for eternity. One is truth. So we should build truth into our life. We should build our life on truth. God's word is true. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will last forever. Truth is going to last forever. Truth was true 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, and it will be true in 2,000 years from now. Truth lasts forever. The Bible also says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God abides forever. Build your life on this book. Build your life on these truths, eternal truths. Build these into your life, and the more you do that, the more you will leave a lasting legacy behind you as well. Truth lasts forever, but the other thing that lasts forever is what? Is what? So we got truth and... Oh, you guys are embarrassed to say it. Okay. Love lasts forever, but that's not my answer. People last forever. People last forever. God made you to exist forever. He made us eternal beings. The two greatest commandments that Jesus spoke of were, one, love God, and two, love people. Why? Because people are going to last forever. You want to invest in something significant? Invest your life into people. Invest in people. Everybody is going to last forever in one of two places, heaven or hell. You say, do you believe there's a heaven and a hell? Of course I do, because Jesus believed it. The Bible talks about it. And Jesus spoke of it as a very real place. The things that people feel are important in God's scheme, in God's scale, in God's economy, are not important at all. How many of you do remember 10 people, the last 10 who won the Nobel Peace Prize? How many of you remember the last 10 who won the Pulitzer Prize? Can you name the last half a dozen or so Academy Award winners for actors and actresses? We forget yesterday's heroes so much. Now these are not nobodies. These are achievers. These are people at the top of the game. But yet we forget about them. But let me ask you another question. How many of you can remember some of the most significant people who influenced your life when you were growing up? How many of you can remember a couple of the teachers that you enjoyed the most because they believed in you and they wanted to help you the most? How many of you can remember the name of the person who led you to Christ? Can you remember that person? This second quiz isn't that difficult, is it? Why? Because these are people who were invested in your life. These are people who wanted to leave a legacy in you. And they spent their time and their energies and their life in something that was eternal, something that was lasting. You want to leave a legacy yourself? Live with integrity, speak with integrity, and serve with intensity. And number three is this, give with generosity. The Bible makes it very clear that we make a living by what we get in life, but we also make a legacy by what we give. You'll never leave a legacy unless you learn to be a generous giver of your money, of your time, your energies, your efforts, your talents. A generous giver. 2 Corinthians 9:9. He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Left a lasting legacy. Why should I be generous? Why should I be generous? Number one, God wants you to be generous because He wants you to become like Him. That's our goal. He wants you to be like Him. My goal in life is to spend the rest of my life becoming like Christ. Becoming like God. I won't become a God, of course. And I won't become perfect. Not until I'm in heaven with Him. But the rest of my life is going to be spent becoming more like Him every day. And God wants me to be like Him. And He wants me to be generous because He is generous. He wants me to give of myself because He gives of Himself. He wants me to give freely because He gives freely. He wants me to give compassionately because He gives compassionately. And so I should be generous because I want to be more like God. Second, you're never going to be remembered for what you spend on yourself. You want to leave a lasting legacy? People don't remember how much you spend on yourself. But you give to others, that's remembered. That's remembered. Third, you're not going to take it with you. You didn't bring anything into the world. You were born with nothing. And you take nothing with you. Except the things that you invested in eternity. And fourth, you learn the joy of giving by learning to be generous right now. You can learn the joy of giving by being generous now. Don't wait until you die. Some of you might be sitting thinking, well, I'm saving up all my money. I'm going to save it all up right now. And when I die, I'm leaving it to some good use. I'm leaving it to some charities. I'll leave some to the church and that'll be great. But you're not learning the joy of giving right now. You're not learning that now. There's an old saying that says, do your giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. After you die, you may not know exactly what happens to the things that you've accumulated. Amazing things happen when you become generous. Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. You give to others. Not only do you bless others, but you yourself are blessed. Not only do you encourage others, you yourself receive encouragement. You refresh others, you yourself are refreshed. And God wants you to be generous. He wants you to be a giver so much. He says to us, let's play a game here. You see if you can outgive me. You see if you can outbless me. And we'll see who can give the most. Be generous. You will never be able to outgive God. On a side note here to us as parents, some have taken generosity to mean wrong things when it comes to their kids. Some have taken generosity just to mean they give their kids all kinds of things. Or even that they take their kids to all kinds of things and they spend their lives taxiing kids and they go to a rugby game and they sit and watch their kids play. They go to a music thing and they take them there and they sit and watch their kids play. They go to another lesson and they sit and they watch their kids there. This is not the same as generosity. Generosity is spending some time giving of yourself, investing of yourself into your kids. Investing your values, your beliefs, your passions, your knowledge, your wisdom, and your understanding of God, and investing them into your kids. Be generous with the kids too. All that really matters in life is loving God, knowing God, loving Him passionately, and loving other people passionately. Everything else is going to fall away. Truth, people, it will last. Number four is this. Succeed with humility. Another character trait that we need to have that we need to pass down is to succeed with humility. Proverbs 29 says, a man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. A man's pride brings him low, but a humble man, a man of humility, gains honor. You'll leave a legacy. You need to stay humble, or you will stumble. There's a couple of things that I believe God uses to test our humility, to build our humility. One of the things that God uses is this thing called praise. Praise. I think the human species is the only species that I know of that when you pat it on the back, the head swells up. You pat a person on the back and the head swells. But this is a test. Are you going to get egotistical about it when you're praised? Are you going to get prideful? What matters most is not what other people think of me. What matters most is not what people think of you. What matters most is God. Is He pleased with me? Is He pleased? Is He happy with me? The other thing that God uses to test our humility, to build it, is something called mistakes. We all make mistakes. Prideful people cannot stand to have their flaws pointed out. Can't stand it. We can't own up to it. We can't face it. You can't joke about it. They can't laugh at themselves. They're so uptight, they're afraid that someone is going to see right through them and see that they're not perfect. Everyone around knows that they're not perfect already. But they're trying to hide. Pride will make you stumble. I was talking to a pastor recently who told me about his challenge with his teenage daughter. Teenage daughter had started something new. And those of you who have teenage daughters, I pity you. Because I have a teenage daughter. And it's a challenge. But he was telling me that with his teenage daughter, she had done something new. And she started getting upset and angry. And she'd go into her room and slam the door. Slam the door. And he finally told her one time, if you do that again, that door is coming off the hinges and you're not going to have a door. That's what she did. She laughed. She did it again. She slammed the door. He goes out into the toolbox and gets the screwdriver, gets a hammer, pulls the pins out, takes the door off the hinges. And the whole time she's saying, that's not going to bother me. It's not going to bother me. It's not going to bother me. And he comes back a little while later and she's putting up a curtain on her door. He says, nah, there's no curtain either. She says, well, it's not going to bother me. And there was this huge issue of pride in her. Huge issue. Well, a few hours later, he had noticed that something had changed in her. And there was an attitude change. And she realized, and she even said to him, that she felt stupid for her behavior, for her attitude, for her actions. She felt stupid. But he said she didn't know how to fix it. She didn't know what to do. How do I make this right? What's the first step? And maybe you're here and you're struggling with this issue of pride. And you've built up certain kinds of walls. You built up certain kinds of defenses. And maybe at times you also feel stupid because you realize it, but you don't know what is the first step to take. And this morning I want to suggest to you the first step to take is to come before God Himself and to confess it and to repent and say, God, I'm sorry for my stupid attitude. I'm sorry for this pride thing. Take it away. I don't want it anymore. That's what this girl did. Her dad helped her realize, hon, you got to make this right. You got to apologize. And he made her apologize to him, to the family. And after that, her attitude seemed to really change. And sometimes with you got to face your sin. You got to face your pride. Face it head on. Don't worry about your image. Worry about your character. Image is what other people say you are. Character is what you really are inside. Other people may be completely wrong. They may not see the real you. God sees the real you. What does God think about you? What does God think about you on the inside? What's going on? succeed with humility. We need to pass this idea of humility on to generations after us. Number five is important. Know God genuinely. The greatest legacy of all is helping somebody come to know Christ. The greatest legacy of all is getting somebody, helping somebody out of hell and into heaven. That's the greatest legacy of all. Taking somebody from the grasp of Satan, sharing with them what Christ has done, and helping them out of that into God's family and into heaven. As a father, I praise the Lord for two of my kids who have made professions of faith in Christ, but I am praying all the time for my other two younger ones who have not yet done that. Because if I make millions of dollars in my lifetime, and I buy nice, beautiful houses and nice cars and take nice holidays and vacations, but my kids grow up not knowing God, I'm a failure. I not only want them to know God, but I want them to have a genuine, passionate relationship with God. I want them to serve God with all their heart. And I hope that you do too. What's the most important thing for your kids? Their education? Education is important. But it's not the most important thing. That's why I cringe when I hear parents making their kids stay home from church because they have homework to do. What is that telling them? What message are we giving them? What's most important in life, honey? What's most important? Their jobs, their careers? That's important, but only as much as it helps them achieve what God has put them on earth to do. What message are we passing down? What legacy are we leaving for our kids? What are we telling them? What are we demonstrating? What are we showing them that is most important things in life? To know God genuinely. The greatest mark that you can leave is helping somebody determine their eternal destiny. I want to ask you, is somebody going to be in heaven because of you? Are you going to get to heaven and realize that there are some people there either directly or indirectly because of your life? Because you took the time to tell them. This is the greatest legacy that you can leave. How do we do this? How do we come to Christ? This past week, we had three in this room come to know Christ. Throughout this year, we've had a number of people come to know Jesus as their Savior. But I know that there's still more in here that don't understand it. They just don't get it. They think being a Christian is living a good life, trying to do your very best, going to church, praying or reading the Bible. Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised them from the dead, you will be saved. Ephesians 2:8 reminds us that it's by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. You're not saved by anything you do of yourself. All these other things, however wonderful they may be, it doesn't make a difference in your relationship to God. It doesn't make a difference. Now, as a child of God, then you serve Him and He begins to work in your life and it shows. The Bible tells us clearly that faith brings works, but it's not the other way around. It's not the other way around. You don't just do works and somehow it produces the faith. Faith comes first. Confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, that He paid the price and the penalty for your sins, and you will be saved. Have you done that? Are you desiring to truly leave a lasting legacy behind you? And when your life is finished, to have people in heaven as a result of your life here on earth. Will you stand with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's make this the private time to take care of some business. Some serious business with you and with God. I want to ask a few questions. And I want you to be able to answer honestly. Answer honestly. First question is simply, do you have a genuine relationship with God? I'm not talking about what you do. I'm not asking if you're a good person. I believe most of you, if not all, are good people in here. You probably wouldn't be here. You're good people. You're doing your best. But I'm asking if you have a genuine relationship with God. Have you ever confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and received Him as your Savior, as your Lord, as your Master, as your God, as the final complete sacrifice for your sins? Have you done that? If that's you, would you testify to that by just quietly raising your hand where you are? I've received Christ as my Savior. I have already trusted Him. I've called on His name. I've received His forgiveness. Raise your hand up if that's you. All over. All over. So many. Most of you, I know. And I appreciate that. God is so good. Thank you. Maybe you're here right now, though, and you can relate and you understand that, yes, you want to leave a legacy. You want your life to count. You want your life to really matter. You don't want to just take up space. And if you died today, you wouldn't really be missed. That's not what you want. But it starts with knowing God genuinely. That's the starting place. That's where it begins. That's where life begins. If you are alive right now and you don't know Christ, you're really not living. You're just kind of existing until the day you die. But Jesus Christ brings life. He's the giver of life. If you're here right now and you cannot say, I know Christ, I know God genuinely, if you cannot say that, would you be so honest to raise your hand so I can just pray for you as well? Is there anyone who'd say, I don't know God for sure. I don't know. I see that. Anyone else? I see that. God bless you. Anyone else? I can't say that I know God genuinely. I know a bit about Him. I've been to church, but I don't know Him. Is that you? I see that. God bless you for your honesty. Anyone else? I don't know God for sure. I don't know if I know Him. Is there anyone else before we go to the Lord in prayer? One final question. In your heart, and I only want responses from you if God is dealing with you inside. But in your heart, can you say, God has spoken to me this morning, and I also want to leave a lasting legacy. I want to commit myself to living with integrity in my life. to serving with intensity, to giving with generosity, to succeeding with humility, and to knowing God genuinely. God has touched my life this morning. He's laid this on my heart, and I also want to leave that lasting legacy. Would you raise your hand if that's you? And we're going to pray and ask God to empower you to keep this, to do this. Raise your hand if that's your prayer as well. Raise your hand up. Don't be ashamed. Appreciate that. Amen. There's hands all over the room. If that's your prayer, keep your hand in the air as I pray. Father in heaven, myself and along with these, Lord, who are here with their hands upheld, Father, you have spoken in a great way this morning. And we want to commit ourselves to leaving a legacy behind us. I want to live that life of integrity, Lord. I want to serve others, Father, as you would have me to serve others. To be great, we must be servant of all. I want to give generously of everything that you've given to me. I want to be more like you. Father, I pray that we would have true, genuine relationships with you. Some of us are Christians, Father. We are saved. But Lord, we don't always live for you passionately. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to seek you with all our hearts, not to be settling with second best. And I pray that you would empower each of these who are making this commitment in their heart right now, that you would empower us, Lord. I pray that you would use these to leave a lasting legacy, Lord. I pray that as a church we would leave a legacy to those under us, to those who come after us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Listen.